Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Deep pass, right side, end zone, it's caught!
Presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
It's a touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown by John Brown. It's intercepted by Peterson in midfield.
Oh, baby!
And the Cardinals are going to win the game.
How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealou, the Jetstream Roy Green, and Bertrand Berry.
So for 54 players, life in the NFL began over the weekend for your Arizona Cardinals as a three-day rookie minicamp was held here in Tempe. As we say good morning and welcome to another edition of the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Craig Grealou, Roy Green, and Bertrand Berry. Gentlemen, welcome back as we are finishing up what was a three-week run here in the offseason of the Cardinals Red Sea Reports. And yeah, finally some football being played here at the facility as on Friday the Cardinals brought in, well, their 6 draft picks. There were 23 tryout guys, another 16 rookie free agents that were signed, and a couple other eligible veterans, I guess we can say, including the likes of a wide receiver, Jackson Shipley, who was on the Cardinals practice squad last year. But for many of these guys, gentlemen, and we'll start with you, B-Train, this was their indoctrination into the NFL. Granted, no hitting, no pads, but still classroom work and on-field work.
Yeah, it's a first chance to make a first impression with your new team, and they're excited. They get to put on the helmet and the uniform of a professional football team, so you want to go out and put your best foot forward. Like you said, there's no pad, so you're not going to be able to totally impress the coaching staff, but just the way that you move around and you're able to retain information will definitely go a long way with the coaches having trust in you going forward. So I think they could do a lot in getting the somewhat of the trust of their coaches, and you can definitely lose trust by not going out and being able to retain basic information that they'll give you in this first week.
And that was something that Coach Bruce Arians told us on Friday, Roy, is that this mostly is about the retaining of information, because we're going to throw a lot at you, a lot of offense, a lot of defensive packages, and then you know what? We're going to give you a brand new offense and a brand new defense on Saturday and a brand new offense and a brand new defense on Sunday, and how much do you remember? How much do we have to prod you along? Because, yeah, we want guys who can play the game, but if you can't understand what you're supposed to do, it doesn't matter how talented athletically you are, you're not going to help us.
Guys, they're being tested. You know, that's what it is, the mini camp. And the coaches have their little ways. And as you just said, they bring in something, they throw a few packages in the morning, they see how they retain it, how they respond to it. In the afternoon, they throw a couple more things, and then at night, they tell them about tomorrow. So then they find out who went home and actually studied, who went home and looked over it, who's preparing themselves, who's going to be a professional. So they're finding out little things about these guys, and at the same time, they're evaluating, you know, their talent level also. But the biggest part of it is how they're going to react, you know, from the mental standpoint. Are they going to be able to be retaining? Are they guys going to be self-motivated, who are going to go home and do what they need to do, who are guys that are learning, constantly trying to better themselves. So they're learning about the players not only from the physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint.
How did Coach Arians think day one went? Here's what he told us on Friday.
Thought it was an outstanding start. It was good. A lot of energy. The guys that I expected to look good, look good. And some of the guys I didn't expect to look good, look good. Very few guys look poor.
We'll talk in our next segment about one of those guys that did look good, and that was their number one draft pick, Robert Kamdichi. We'll get into that in a minute. A couple other guys, though, did look good just based off some news that broke here a little while ago here on Monday, and that is the Cardinals, once again, for the second straight year, signing a couple of these guys that were brought in on a tryout basis. First, wide receiver Chris Hubbard and running back Elijah Penny. Both those players participated over the three-day rookie minicamp. They were brought in on a trial basis, Bertrand. No guarantee whatsoever, but they made the most of their time. Yeah, there are two positions as far as in which the Cardinals are very locked in as far as running back and wide receiver, but these guys in Hubert and Penny showed something to either Coach Arians or the position coach and says, look, maybe this is a guy that we can develop, see how he progresses. But so far, that retaining of the information from Friday, Saturday, Sunday earned them a contract here so far in the offseason.
And I root for guys like this because I was that guy in 2001 with the Denver Broncos. I had been out of the league the year before. So I had a future type of contract, and I had to go out and really prove myself during those OTAs and mini camps and things of that nature. Obviously, I wasn't a rookie, but I do remember being a guy without a contract needing to go out and perform and show that I could perform at the level that they needed to be a member of that football team. So you have to be on it. You cannot afford to have bad reps. And I know for those guys, it was extremely important that they perform well, even though there weren't pads on, like we said. You still had to go out and show a basic level of comprehension as well as athletic ability in order to get a future-type contract. So big ups to them. They still have a lot of work ahead of them, but now you at least have a chance knowing that you've signed something showing that you are an official member of the Cardinals team.
And Craig, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
To add a little bit to what you said, it's two of the strongest positions on the football team, you know, running back, wide receiver. And for these two guys to be signed at those two positions mean that they did something special or showed something very special, because the Cardinals aren't going in looking for running backs or wide receivers. They're loaded at those two positions. For someone to stand out at those positions, knowing what the players that the Cardinals have at those two positions, says that there's something pretty special about those guys.
That's a good point, because you think maybe cornerback or defensive line or in that front seven, maybe offensive line help. But that's a good point, Roy, because now all of a sudden, yeah, you've got Larry Fitzgerald, and you got John Brown, you got Michael Floyd at wide receiver, and you've got David Johnson, Chris Johnson, Andre Ellington at running back. Yet here is Chris Hubert, a wide receiver out of Division II Fayetteville State, finished his career ranked first in school history in receiving touchdowns, second in receptions, and third in receiving yards. And then Penny, who in two seasons at Idaho as a senior last year, over 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. So doing it on the college level and showing something here over the weekend that they perhaps might have a future at the next level. To make room on the roster, the Cardinals did have to release two players. They did so in saying goodbye to running back Jared Baker and linebacker Mike Riley. Now, keep in mind, because general manager Steve Keim is known to do this, the offseason is offseason, but the job is not done for Keim and his staff, because we've seen B-Train that last maybe 5-6 spots on the roster, now you're looking at 84 to 90. That they see someone come across the waiver wire, or maybe in a day or two, you know, they see something on film from this weekend and say, you know what, let's sign him, let's not lose him. You might see a couple of more moves. In fact, I'm guaranteeing a couple of more moves here over the next 5 to 6 weeks.
That's the Steve Keim special. He's been doing it ever since he's been in position as general manager. He's made more transactions than just about any other team in the NFL. So he will let you know that even though you are on the team today, that doesn't mean that you have made the roster finally. And everybody knows that there will be cuts and there will be guys that will be released during the course of the offseason. So just because you're here today, don't get too comfortable and don't think that your name is etched in stone here with the Arizona Cardinals. It's actually written in pencil. It can be erased at any moment. So they're about the business of winning championships, and whatever he needs to do to make this roster championship worthy, he's shown that he is more than willing to make that move.
And I think that works both ways. And you said it sends out a message, and we know that, you know, the organization never stands pat. They're always trying to get better.
NFL stands for not for long.
Right. They're trying to improve. You know, it doesn't matter. If he sees somebody, he's not afraid to pull that trigger. And secondly, like you said, it sends that message to all the other guys. Hey, we can't be comfortable. You know, we always got to be working to get better, because they will replace you. If they find someone who's going to do a better job or they think can do a better job, they're going to make that move. So it keeps everybody on their toes, keeps everybody competitive, everybody constantly working. No one stands pat in this organization. It's all about getting better day in, day out.
Here is Coach Arians on the key for rookies, not just this weekend, but here over the first few days of their pro career.
Process information. You got to study, and you have to prepare more after you study it. Walk through it, show that you can learn it, and play fast. If you can process information, show it in a walkthrough, and then come out and practice fast, that's how we learn every day. And if you can't, then we got a problem. you know, we got a problem, and either we have to find a way to teach you or you don't make it.
Take me back, Roy, as much as you can, and as much as the memory still lasts as far as those first few days in the NFL, because we were talking before the show started that it's a little bit different nowadays than it was, because now it's you get drafted and almost immediately there's rookie minicamp, there's OTAs, there's minicamp before training camp. But for you, you get drafted, and then what happens?
You get drafted probably four days to a week later, you're in minicamp. You come in, at that time, you came in for a week. You return, you learn the basics. They gave you a playbook to take home with you and expected you to know a lot of it when you got back in training camp, you know, two months later. It was definitely different for me specifically and the times now, because now just the rookies show up and they go against each other. You know, when we came in, the entire team came to minicamp. So if you're coming in and you're looking over there, for me as a defensive back, you know, and Mel Gray is a guy that I idolize, one of the great receivers with the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to go up against this guy tomorrow. So, you know, for a rookie coming in, you're already in awe of being making that leap from college to pro. But then you get over there and, you know, the first day you're there, you got one-on-ones with a Mel Gray. Or for these guys, if it were different, a different time now, you know, they've seen Fitzgerald, they've seen Peterson, they've seen all the great names on the Cardinals. Fortunately for them, they don't have to, the shock and all is not going to happen for them until training camp. So now they're just going against their own. But it's a different time, a different era now, and it was definitely a difficult first 2 days for me making that transition from college to pro.
Yeah, that transition just a little bit easier now because they've got these 3 days and in a couple of days throughout the offseason in which they're only here and get some one-on-one attention with, not from the head coach, their position coach. We invite you to submit your questions, your comments, get them in, hashtag Red Sea Report. We'll do that later on in the show. And of course, as we always do, we are live streaming on azcardinals.com/live video. As we teased momentarily ago, Robert Kimdichie, his first time on the field wearing an Arizona Cardinals practice uniform, and he did stand out. We'll get into that on the other side. Craig Riola, Roy Green, Bertram Berry. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You know, when you're picking at one, regardless if it's 1 through 32, I think you owe it to your organization, you owe it to your fan base to take the best player, regardless of position. The grades that we had on Robert Kimdichie were off the charts. I mean, they were some of the highest grades in the draft. From a physical skill set standpoint, we didn't feel like there was a more talented player in the draft than Robert Kimdichie.
Maybe even top three. And he slips to the Cardinals at number 29 as the Cardinals draft out of Ole Miss. Robert Kimdichie, 6'4", 296, a two-time first-team All-SEC selection and second-team All-American, and he looks the part. Yeah, he's got the physical tools on the field as well. Very, very impressive over the weekend as we talk about the Cardinals rookie minicamp here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Riolu, Bertram Berry, and Roy Green, all presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find a dealer nearest you. Now, the knock on Kimdichie heading into the draft, aside from the off-the-field issues, was the fact that on the field, B-Train, sometimes he disappeared, took plays off, wasn't always giving it his all. Now, you can argue that back and forth, you know, how many snaps he's playing versus how many he'll play in the NFL. Brenson Buckner already said, show me, the Cardinals defensive lineman, by the way, show me a defensive lineman that doesn't take a play or two off during the course of the game unless your name is J.J. Watt. So the Cardinals aren't too worried about that. But he has to bring it, and he knows that there is that tag on him. So it was good to see him, you know, at least for the amount of time that we were out there on Friday, to stand out. And I don't think there's any doubt about it because, well, you're 6'4", 296. You should stand out. And he did just that. And it got to the point where Coach Arian said, look, Robert, you need to slow it down just a little bit.
Too much. Yeah, he was killing people on walkthrough, and I had to slow him down. And he's bench pressing linemen already. But, yeah, he's got great first step quickness, just like all the things we thought we saw.
And as Coach Aaron's B-Train likes to say, better to say whoa than sick 'em. So they've got someone that made a good first impression here.
Yeah, he needed to make a good first impression. And you look at all of the talk that was surrounding Robert Kamdichie going into the draft. You look at the game against Alabama. He looked all-worldly. And then you looked at other games where he was going up against redshirt freshmen. He looked like a guy where you couldn't find him unless you were had an APB out for him. So I think he really needed to come out and make that first impression just to show that, hey, I do have all the requisite skills to be a dominant player. It's only going to be a matter of time before I ascend to the top of this rotation and become one of the stalwarts on this defensive line. I look at him, and I don't think physical ability is ever going to be an issue with Robert Kamdichie. It's all about what motivates him. How will the Arizona Cardinals coaching staff, in particular Brinson Buckner, how will he be able to get the most out of Kamdichie on a consistent basis? Because you heard the stat about him, or having a lot of reps. Well, you know, the offensive side had just as many reps, the offensive lineman. So I don't buy that. You either can play or you can. And if it means a lot to you, then you'll go out there each and every play and you'll understand that this is a tremendous opportunity given to him and he will have to make the most of it. He has a clean slate right now in the NFL. Nobody is going to look at what he did in college now. All that was just pre-draft. Now that you've been drafted, now that you're a member of the Arizona Cardinals, what will you do going forward to help this team win championships?
Yeah, and Roy, that's something to pay attention to because it starts now. What you did in the past doesn't matter. It got you to this point, but now all of a sudden you're thrown in with veterans, with guys who are high draft picks, low draft picks, rookie free agents. You're all thrown together, and it's whoever performs the best plays. So it doesn't matter how much you make and what your draft status was, because they throw you all together and then they'll pick the best 11 to play on defense.
It's over now. You know, when you come in, you know, as a rookie particularly, you know, all you have is a number on your back. They don't – generally, in my day, they didn't even call you by your name. You were a number until you earned, the respect of the players. You made some plays. You did some things. And in fairness to players coming out, generally, you know, now in this time of – you know, there's so much evaluating going on. You know, they have to evaluate you, and they put labels on players, whether fair or unfair. And players generally remember the negative ones. So for him coming in, and all he's heard is he's taking plays off, and his first thought when coming here is, hey, I got to let them know I'm a guy that's 100%er. I'm not going to take plays off. And that's probably why, you know, he was going full speed, because he wants to erase that label as soon as he can.
The one thing I will say, and to add to that, Roy, is trust is given and it's earned. You're not given anything in this league, and in order for you to go out and earn that trust, you have to be able to show that you can do certain things on a regular basis, not just some of the times, not just one time, but all the time, consistently. And that's how he's going to get the trust of the coaching staff and ultimately the players that he's going to be playing alongside, that he does it on a consistent basis, not just showing it one time in his first practice as a member of the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, if he was killing people, as Coach Arian said, in walkthrough, then now he set the bar, Bertrand. I mean, yeah. Now you've got to be able to maintain it and show that I'm not just doing it because, you know, I'm a week removed from the draft and I need to do a 180 here. No, it's this day, it's next week, it's next month, it's week in and week out.
No doubt. And that's what it's going to take for Robert Kamdichie, because all eyes will be on him. There were other draft picks. There were five other draft picks, and there was a lot of other undrafted free agents that were on the field. But he is the one that's getting the attention, because he is the one that is, quote unquote, the best athlete in the draft and one of the best players available in this entire draft. So they will look at him and they will judge him based off of what you just said, what he did on that first day. He set that bar so high. Now every day he has to go out and live up to that bar, and that's going to be up to him, because everybody will be the equivalent of an Alabama this in this league. It's not going to be any homecoming teams on the schedule going forward.
That's what I was about to say too. And look, at we have two Pro Bowl guards, a center that's just drafted that they're very high on.
He's nasty.
That's a brawler. Yeah, a nasty guy with attitude. He's not going to be able to afford to take any plays off, because those are the guys he's going to be facing in training camp. And I think that he's going to learn very early on that, you know, if I don't bring it, I can get embarrassed. And I think the fact that, you know, the Cardinals have those three very physical, very tough guys up front that he's going to be facing probably in scrimmages and one-on-one drills. This is going to only enhance or help, you know, where he needs to go.
Hashtag Red Sea Report for your questions, your comments. We'll get them in later on in the show here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Riolu, Roy Green, and Bertram Berry, all presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Fair or not, and Roy, you brought up about those early year players, first year players, those rookies, numbers on the back, and that's what they're referenced as, you know, whether it's 2-6 or 4-3. Well, Kimdichie is wearing number 90, and the last player, fair or not, that people are comparing him to is Darnell Dockett. Now, as far as just the physicality and how well he stands and how big he is, yeah, from a distance, watching him on Friday, Bertrand, you look over there and say, you know, if the hair's just a little bit longer flowing out of the back of the helmet, yeah, that's Dockett out there.
Yeah, he's got big shoes to fill, make no mistake. And say what you want about Darnell. His time here was very productive. His decade while he was here, he did a lot of good things for the Arizona Cardinals, helped them get to a Super Bowl, had a great Super Bowl performance. So even though it didn't end the way that you would have liked it, you still have to respect Darnell for what he did while he was here. And having that number on, there's going to be a certain amount of expectations. Can't forget about Corey Redding, who wore 90 in his 1 year. But you look at who he's going to be ultimately compared to. Yes, it is Darnell Dockett. And if you're going to wear that number here with the Arizona Cardinals, then there's a certain amount of expectations that come with it. And I think that's a good thing. And the fact that we're talking about that in relation to the Arizona Cardinals, that's something that we hadn't seen around here in quite some time. So the fact that the culture is changing, just like they had all predicted, beat Bruce Arians, Steve Keim and company, they have predicted that this would be ultimately what they would bring here, is here. Now Robert Kimdichie is one of those first examples that say, hey, you had a great player that wear this jersey, you remind us of him, but we need that type of production out of you.
Here is Kimdichie after his first practice last Friday, the day one of rookie minicamp.
Being away from football for so long and being through the process of draft and combine and all that, finally getting back to football. So it is a memorable day.
And you just figure out what you can do with a man his size, Roy, and how quickly he's able to grasp the defensive playbook and what James Betcher wants to do. And we've talked about it here on this show, but now all of a sudden with the rotation, he's not going to be there every single snap, but you throw him next to a Calais Campbell. You've got Chandler Jones. You've got a Frosty Rucker, Corey Peters. You've got now 5-6 guys that you can rotate in and out. He doesn't have to be the guy, but he will have to show up, because when you're that first-round pick, there is a sense of expectation.
Of course there is. And I think the biggest adjustment for him is, you know, as Keim has stated earlier, you know, talent-wise, you know, he's off the charts, off the board. But he's not going to be able to get away with that at this level. The thing that he's going to have to concentrate on is the retention that we talked about as far as learning the playbook, where to go, where to be. And technique is going to be so important. It's going to be paramount, because in the past where he could overpower people, he was better than all the people he lined up against. And now, as I said, he's going to have guys who've been to Pro Bowls before, guys that are as big, as strong, as powerful, or just as powerful. So it's going to be technique, discipline, and the retention of the playbook that's going to be so important for him.
What kind of learning curve, Bertrand? I mean, you coming out of Notre Dame, getting into the NFL, you know, I know every player is different, but, and Coach Arians likes to put that week 8 tag for rookies, as far as you should be able to start contributing by week 8. But for you personally, how long was it, or how long did it take as far as when you were able to say, you know what, that light bulb went off, so to speak, and I get it. I understand what I'm supposed to do.
It took me about 10 to 12 weeks. I didn't really start to really get a full grasp of the defense. Jim Johnson had a very complex defense when I first came into the league. God rest his soul. And it took me a while to get going, and I had a position change. I was a drop linebacker as opposed to a rush linebacker coming out of college. So I had a lot of different learning to do as far as technique, as Roy said, and retention of that, of all the different calls. So it was tough for me. And it took me a while, but once I got it, I got it.
The Arizona Cardinals 2016 season tickets now on sale. Visit azcardinals.com for more information. On the other side, we take a look at the offense, specifically the offensive line, as we break down the Cardinals rookie minicamp It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers, Craig Riolu, Roy Gray, and Bertram Barry, here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
First down from the Raven 26. Palmer under center. Gresham motions left to right. Palmer takes, hands it off. Running right, Johnson cuts back to the left, gets it to 20, slips a tackle, bounces off another one, runs left to the 15, to the 10. Target in the end zone, and getting into the end zone for the touchdown. What a run by Chris Johnson from 26 yards out, and the Cardinals are on the board.
Oh, baby, Chris Johnson with a little shake and bake.
Expect to hear a lot more of that. Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley calling Chris Johnson's touchdown against Baltimore. Throw in David Johnson, Andre Ellington. The Cardinals should be able to run the ball a lot better. Well, they ran it well last year, but maybe even make an improvement this year in 2016. To continue here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers, visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Craig Riolu, Roy Green, and Bertram Barry. Before we get into this offense, I failed to mention about in our conversation about Robert Kimdichie. He signed prior to the start of the three-day rookie minicamp. He signed a four-year contract Friday morning along with the two fifth-round selections, safety Marquis Christian and guard Cole Toner. So half of the Cardinals' 2016 draft class has officially signed. Their fourth-round selection, Evan Bame, 6'3", 3'10". He'll be fighting, competing with A.Q. Shipley to be that starting center along the Cardinals' offensive line really right now, outside of maybe the right tackle spot and whether DJ Humphreys can nail that and secure that job. But right now, the hole along the offensive line, Roy, is at center. Someone's got to snap the ball to Carson Palmer, and the Cardinals like what they have in A.Q. Shipley, but they needed competition, and they really like Bame because, one, he's in 4 years in high school, 4 years of college, did not miss. He missed one game. Excuse me. He missed one game in high school. Suffered a high ankle sprain the first game of his senior season last year at Missouri. Yet still played the rest of the season. So you know he's tough. He's a coach's son. So you know he knows football. He's been around it his entire life. And here's a guy that again, much like Kimdichie, looks the part. 6'3", 3'10". How quickly he'll be able to pick up the offense, though, will determine on whether he's your week one starting center.
Well, you know, you just mentioned the fact that he's a coach's son. He's been around football. He hasn't missed a lot of time. You know, playing the center position, you generally are the guy that makes the calls up front. So, you know, he's football intelligent, at least. He's a guy. I mean, they drafted him. They talked about that position. So, you know, they want him to play. So they're going to give him every opportunity. The intangibles say he's going to be that guy. Now, Shipley, you know, as a veteran player who stepped in and played quite well last year, I'm sure he's sitting at home. Well, yeah, I'm positive he's sitting at home saying, this is mine. You know, he's got to take it away from me. And he's going to do everything to keep that from happening. So it's going to only make that offensive line better, you know, whether he's a starter or not. Because if Bame doesn't start, it means that Shipley is taking his game to completely another level. So that only improves the entire offensive line. So I'm looking for that battle on the offensive line you just talked about a little bit earlier. You know, improving that running game and the protection is going to only make this offense better. This offense was dynamic last year, and to improve the running game, to be more physical up front, is going to make this offense even better.
Here is General Manager Steve Keim breaking down the rookie, Evan Bame.
You know, he's 6'2". He's got nice size hands, average size arms. He does have a really good feet for a center. Great balance and body control. And the one thing that I loved about him is he plays with some snap and explosiveness in his punch.
He does not like to lose either, as he made clear to us, Bertrand, about his competitive nature on and off the field. But you look at what the Cardinals did 2 years ago. They were 31st in the NFL in rushing. Last year, a huge jump, number 8, almost 120 yards a game. If you talk to offensive coordinator Harold Goodwin, he would love to run the ball much more. But when you have the offensive weapons and you have a quarterback in Carson Palmer and Bruce Arians wants to throw, he wants to put that football in the air. But I think you could be a little bit more balanced. And when you get a lead, you can milk that clock and get first downs, run the ball right down the throat of that defense. And it starts with protection up front, guys that can open up holes. and you've got veterans, and we talked about the guard situation as far as Evan Mathis and Mikey Potty helping a young Evan Bame, but you've got five guys now that I think is going to be maybe not the focus of the offense, but I think you're going to see more geared towards the run and trying to establish that early on.
It'll be a mentality, and you look at this offensive line, I think Coach Arians wants to establish a certain mentality with those guys up front. He wants a nasty disposition. He wants guys that like to get physical. If they choose to run the ball and dominate their opponents physically in the running game, you can do that. If you want to protect Carson Palmer, who had MVP voting last year, you can do that as well. You want this offense to be well-rounded, and that all starts with the guys up front. If you don't have that offensive line solidified, then it's going to be difficult to do either pass or run the football. So the fact that they have the pieces that they feel are necessary to do that now, it's just a matter of them coming together, gelling, getting on the same page, and I think they'll do that rather quickly with the four guys already have been here at least a year, and then with A.Q. Shipley or Evan Bame, whoever is going to win that position, they're going to have to come in and really show that they are not going to be the weak link of this starting five.
And along with that, what's going to make this offense better? You remember there was a 4 or 5 week period where we were struggling so much in short yardage. You know, we couldn't get that first down. And now with a tough guy like Game, that, you know, Mathis joining us, Mike, you know what he's going to do up front. Mm-hmm. Moving people back, you get 3 extra downs. You know, mm-hmm. 3 extra downs for about 4 ball games now. You know, you're talking about more plays, more opportunities for these big play receivers to make plays, mm-hmm. big play running backs to make plays. So it's going to be a better offense just from the standpoint of just you're more physical up front, so now those 3rd-and-1s and those 4th-and-1s we couldn't convert, and now we have an opportunity to do that.
And when you look at Bame on film, one of the things that Kai mentioned was his footwork, and it goes back to what he told us when he was formally introduced right before the start of rookie minicamp, is that he did not begin playing football until the 7th grade. His father would not let him in play until he was 7th grade, so he grew up playing soccer. And then a wrestling background as well. And we always hear now about, especially this day and age, about specializing, whether it's football, baseball, or basketball. But here you have a guy who has that second, third sport, Bertrand, where you're all of a sudden not solely focused on football, but those other sports can help you in the game of football, especially the wrestling background.
Yeah, I'll say from my own experience playing basketball and running track in high school, that really helped me be an all-around athlete, and it only enhanced my football capability. So I look at him, and I think the one thing that's going to help him too is, in reference to football, he only played one position. He only played center. So yeah, you have the other sports help you, but then the fact that he has been a center the entire time, he knows the ins and outs of playing that position. He doesn't have the confusion of having other responsibilities and having to have done other things. And he can hike the ball. He knows the mechanics of hiking the ball and being able to get his hands up. He's done that time and time again, thousands and thousands of times. So he's a guy that will know how to man the middle of that offensive line. He's done it his whole career. So it'll be something that will be a seamless transition for him. Just catching up to the actual speed of the players on the field will be where the rubber meets the road for him.
Here is Bame talking about his wrestling background.
Wrestling is huge, especially in the offensive line. The balance, there's the leverage, there's the footwork, the hand placement. Everything that you do in wrestling, you can do and put into football. Is it going to be different? Yeah, but it's pretty much the same thing with how you do it and where the hand fighting and the balance and everything like that. It helps a lot.
And the one thing, Roy, I like about Bame is as much as we sit there and peg him, you know, the heir apparent, the starter or whatever, he won't bring it up. He won't talk about it. He is very respectful about wanting to, one, compete, and then, two, learn from the other guys, whether it's AQ or Mathis or Upati. He is coming in here not with, you know, broad shoulders and saying, I'm the man, but realizing that respect is earned and I haven't done anything yet.
He's a smart guy. I mean, he's a smart guy. You know, coaching background, you know, from his father, being a coach and knowing, you know, about competition and, you know, both how you carry yourself in both winning and losing, how you compete honorably. He knows all those things. And no, he's not going to say that. But he's always said he doesn't like to lose, which means I don't like to lose personal battles, personal competition either. He wants to be on that football field. He doesn't have to say it, but I know that in his mind, he's thinking, that's my job.
And between the white lines, a little bit of a nasty streak to him as well. Still got some time to get your questions, your comments in via the hashtag Red Sea Report. We'll get into those on the other side. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Hashtag Red Sea Report with myself, Craig Riolu, Roy Green, Bertram Berry. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report from the Cardinals training facility in Tempe here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Wanted to do is we wanted to get fast and athletic by bringing in Brandon, and then by in the fifth round we went to Marquis. You know, those are a 4-3 and a 4-4 guy that like to run and hit, so we wanted to add speed and physicality in the back end, and then bringing in Branch and free agency, there's another one. So it's gonna be a very athletic group. It's gonna be a young group, and we're excited about it.
Cardinals VP of player personnel Terry McDonough on last week's Big Red Rage. One more Big Red Rage scheduled for this week, Wednesday, 6 to 7, before a little bit of a summer hiatus before the start of training camp. But again, Wednesday night, Big Red Rage from 6 to 7 as we continue here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Craig Riolu, Roy Green, Bertram Berry, and Lisa Matthews joins us for our question and answer segments.
Yeah, just speaking off of speed, fan Eric Brumfield, he wants to know, how has Harlan Miller performed thus far? He had two picks on Friday in practice, obviously just seen 3 days' work of practice. So what are your thoughts so far?
So far, so good. It's not a lot of a sample size. I mean, you know, he hadn't really done anything against the real competition. He hadn't picked off Carson Palmer or, you know, Drew Stanton or anybody like that yet. So we're talking about rookies going up against rookies, and yeah, you want to flash and you want to show that you can actually go out there and perform, but I don't think there's no need to get all bent out of shape about it. I mean, he is still a rookie, and he'll be known as Miller from here going forward. And, you know, he's better seen and not heard. That's just how rookies are treated in the NFL, and I got no problem with that.
Better to flash than, I guess, not show up at all, at least the first practice of minicamp.
Andy Kong, he wants to know, will the Cardinals bring back Dwight Freeney? He's great in the locker room and on the field. Thoughts?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to bring him back or not. I think he is a guy that you know what he can do. I don't think they're in a rush to bring back a Dwight Freeney.
Right.
Because he's a guy that has been through many a mini camps and many a training camp. So they're going to ask him to come off the edge. And I think he will probably take a pass on training camp and all those type of things. And, you know, you can never have too many pass rushers. So the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're both on a wait and see. And like you said, neither is in a rush.
Yes, especially
you know,
Dwight.
Yeah, Dwight's not ready to come. And they're going to see, you know, from all the guys they have here ready, you know, with the young players coming in and Chandler joining the team. They want to see how it's going to work for a while. And they're going to be able to see that, you know, during training camp, maybe even a couple of preseason games before they make that decision. And it's good for both. You know, Dwight doesn't need the physical beating of a training camp. And they know that, you know, when called upon, he's going to be ready. He's already shown that mm-hmm. Hey, just call me. I can definitely spin a couple of times and get to the quarterback.
And remember, it was an injury that brought him here. So right now, there's no need, as B-Train mentioned a couple of times. I don't think you're going to hear his name bantied about no sooner than August, and maybe not even until the season starts.
Yeah, about September 8th, I would say.
Get the phone call. Yeah. Get off the couch. Let's
yeah.
go.
Let's roll.
I'm going to throw in my own question in the mix for you guys and your experience. Rookie experience probably a little different than what the guys are going through now. Mm-hmm. What was your guys' moment? Welcome to the NFL moment. Hashtag TBT for Roy.
Hashtag ouch. Well, you know, I played, I was a cornerback in college for 3 years. In my senior year, I was a safety and drafted as a safety. But and coming in, Mel Gray was my favorite receiver in the National Football League, my favorite player. And I got drafted by the Cardinals, obviously, and he was there. And all the players had to go one-on-one. It didn't matter if you were a safety or a corner. You had to go against the wide receivers. And obviously, you know, I'm in awe, first of all, that is male. But I'd never been beaten for a touchdown in college. My entire career, I never got beaten. But I lined up on Mel, and it was like, well, I know I'm as fast as this guy because, you know, I'm the jet stream. You know, I run 4.2. That's no problem. Man, he left me standing still. He went by me. And it was a huge crowd at Lindenwood College in St. Louis, and all the fans were going, And to top it off, three plays later, I come up and Pat Tilly spins me like a top, and it was the same thing.
Welcome to the NFL.
Rude awakening.
Yep. Well, I'll just say I just tried not to fall down. I just didn't want to embarrass myself. Going out there, I saw all of those guys, very intimidating, and I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't the weak link of the team. And, again, I didn't say anything to anybody. I just tried to make sure I was upright at all times.
You didn't get the woo.
No.
Lisa, we appreciate it. We'll do it again. Little summer hiatus for us as well here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. We'll be back with you come training camp, and before you know it will be here.
Dang, nabbit.
Special thanks to our broadcast manager and producer, Jim Omohundro, technical directors, Andy Greenberg, and Steve Zinsmeister, and studio coordinator, Dan Nettles. For Bertram Berry, Roy Green, Lisa Matthews, I'm Craig Riolu. This has been the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Great interception by the Badger. Tyrann Mathieu stepped in front.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, John Brown!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.